The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
You know, we do whatever we do to survive.
Right? Drop it!
The rhythm, the rebel.
Don't believe the hype.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't know we can do this.
Here we go again.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Political Prisoner Radio. Today's date is December the 20th, 2015. Our co-host and co-producer, Sister Amijo, is not with us tonight, but we do have a short broadcast for you. Tonight, we want to focus on a couple of cases of political prisoners. We have an update to share pertaining to the case of Abu Jamal versus Kerestes, in which political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal is suing for access to healthcare treatment specifically to treat hepatitis C virus. This case may have ramifications across the country as it relates to access to adequate healthcare for prisoners. Noel Hammerhand of Prison Radio spoke with Mumia by phone about his case. After we listened to Sister Noel Hammerhand speak with Mumia about his case, political prisoner Herman Bell will be appearing before a parole board in February 2016 in efforts to obtain his freedom after 4 decades in prison for the killing of 2 police officers during a time when the FBI and local police all over the United States were targeting political activists in the civil rights movement as well as the Black Liberation Movement. And of course, this included the Black Panther Party and other left-leaning groups. The United States COINTELPRO activities included framing and assassinating their targets. A petition for his release is posted and continues to garner signatures. First thing that we want to do is provide you with the update on the evidentiary hearing, which was ordered on December the 18th by U.S. Federal District Court Judge Robert Marion. And, of course, this is in the case Abu Jamal versus Kerestes. This expanded hearing on December the 18th, which occurred at 9:30 a.m. in Scranton, Pennsylvania, took direct testimony, including Mumia's testimony. Mumia's lawyers, and he is being assisted by lawyers working for the abolitionist law firm based in Pennsylvania, are preparing cross-examinations for the Department of Corrections witnesses, prison administrators, and, of course, doctors. Again, this is a very important case. It could have wider ramifications as many prisoners suffer from the lack of health care throughout the nation's prisons. This is including in the whether those are the private prisons and jails or whether it's state-run or federal prisons and jails, whether it is detention facilities for immigrants. Often, more often than not, they are denied adequate health care to treat various illnesses and injuries. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Noel Hammerhand interviewing Mumia Abu-Jamal about this recent update in his case.
Mumia Abu-Jamal, what did you accomplish by your testimony today in court?
I think I opened a window, not just to what I've suffered or even my case, but how the state responds to those thousands of people. At last count, and I think it's a serious undercount, 10,000 prisoners in Pennsylvania, how they respond to the challenge of hepatitis C. That is to say, they'll do everything they can not to treat those who have been infected with hepatitis C infections.
How sick were you on March 30th, 2015?
I was as weak as a kitten. I still have no independent memory of me going there. I don't actually remember falling into a coma or a diabetic shock. I remember going into the infirmary and waking up the next day, presumably, or what I thought was the next day, because we couldn't see out the windows, at a hospital. And the feeling of wool in my mouth. They gave me water, and water tastes like cotton. I remember those things, but I was so weak I could barely lift my arm.
What relief are you seeking?
Something very simple. Treatment. Not treatment of the symptoms, but treatment of the disease, hepatitis C. They could do it tomorrow. And in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or at the outside, 28 weeks, there's a 95, 98% chance I'll be cured. And the hepatitis C virus will be eradicated and undetectable in my system.
Mumia Abu-Jamal, what reasons did the Department of Corrections give for denying you care for hepatitis C?
They told me, or it was told to me by the doctor here, that I was not sick enough to qualify, that my viral load wasn't large enough, and my platelet count was too low, that I was too healthy to be treated. I wasn't sick enough.
Did they repeat those questions in the courtroom?
They insinuated it. They made reference to people reporting that I look better, me telling the dermatologist that I feel great. I do feel great compared to how I felt, and people have told me that I look good. But I think I also did not hesitate to mention that the doctor here said this can recur at any time. And so, you know, I can look good today and be back in that state in a month, a week, a year, tomorrow.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
And again, that was a recent interview that Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio conducted with Mumia Abu-Jamal. Please support their work. You can visit them online at prisonradio.org. Again, that is prisonradio.org, where you can get more information not only about Mumia's case, but and hear from people like Mumia through the recordings that they make, but you can hear from other political prisoners as well. Now, one of the things I want to point out again, and this isn't the first time we have covered this issue on Political Prisoner Radio, not the first time that we have covered this issue on Black Talk Radio Network, because this is a longstanding issue within the United States and its failure to live up to the various human rights treaties that they have signed. Not to mention, you know, this is inhumane treatment, and it is a violation of the U.S. Constitution, falling under cruel and unusual punishment to withhold medication, to withhold treatment from prisoners simply because they are prisoners. I don't think that any civilized society can refer to itself as such. So we hope that Mumia's case, he wins the case. Again, he is being assisted by attorneys at the Abolitionist Law Firm. Shout out to them. But if this case, if he wins this case, it could have wider implications on America's 21st century prison slavery system that exists to this day. Now, let's move on to the next story. Again, efforts to free political prisoner Herman Bell are ramping up again as he is set to appear before a parole board in February of 2016. He has spent 4 decades in prison for the alleged killing of 2 police officers. Again, I must stress, during that time and even today, with all of the killings that we see on video day after day after day, it was even worse back then, as you did not have cell phone cameras to capture the abuses that police departments were perpetrating upon communities of color. So it is during that backdrop, extensive police brutality, racism, white supremacy that Herman Bell and others mobilized to protect their communities. And so even though he has taken responsibility for that which he was convicted, again, many of these former activists who were out on the street who now find themselves to be political prisoners, they are not let out of prison for fear, I believe, for fear of they would go out and help organize against these issues that they were organizing against back in the 1960s, 70s, and 1980s. And they, of course, would be able to lend a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom to young activists of today. And so they keep these men and women locked up to continue to disconnect between the generations. Freedom Archives produced a video about 2-3 years ago. Again, Freedom Archives is the producer of this video, of the audio I'm about to share with you about freeing Herman Bell. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
More than 2.5 million human beings are imprisoned in the U.S. This mass incarceration, overwhelmingly aimed at people of color and criminalizing youth, makes the U.S. by far the greatest purveyor of punishment in the world. Among these millions are a number of political prisoners, and among these courageous sisters and brothers is Herman Bell. Herman Bell has been a political prisoner in the U.S. for nearly 40 years. When national liberation and revolution rocked the world in the 1960s and 70s, Herman was active in the social justice movements of those times, particularly the Black Liberation Movement and the Black Panther Party. In the face of intense and, in fact, murderous government repression against the civil rights and Black liberation struggles, the dedication and militance of Herman and many others intensified. He went underground for several years, until his arrest in New Orleans in September 1973. He and four others then stood trial in New York for the murder of two New York policemen, Joseph Piagantini and Waverly Jones. Their first trial ended in a hung jury. In the second trial, Herman, Noel Washington, and Jaleel Muntakim were convicted based on the coerced testimony of another former Black Panther member who had been repeatedly tortured in New Orleans.
When you deal with someone who had been a part of a empowering movement, such as the Black Panther Party, and I underline the word empowering movement in all aspects of it, it's really difficult to see those men and women who spent years and years and years incarcerated for what they believed in and for the way in which they tried to be of service in building communities.
And the prospects of me getting out, I don't know. And I spent more of my life in here than I have on the streets.
Over nearly 4 decades in prison, Herman has maintained his commitment to social transformation and demonstrated his care and compassion for the Black community behind and outside the walls. Aware that mass imprisonment has a deeply damaging impact on African American families, he has provided Black youth with a positive role model, a strong, dignified Black man who respects himself and others, who keeps his head up even amidst the racist neo-slavery of the U.S. prison system.
My name's Simone, and I'm 6 years old. I'm going to show you a picture that I drew of my family. And it's for my grandpa, Herman Bell.
I have a beautiful family. My wife, Nancy, my son, Kamel, and I have two grandbabies.
Sage is in the 5th grade, going on the 6th grade, and is doing really well. And Simone, what grade are you in? Just kidding. Simone's in the 1st grade. She's doing really well in the 1st grade.
I want my daughters to know their grandfather, and I want them to know him outside of jail, outside of a place where they can't, you know, hug or kiss him if they want to, where they can't wake up and enjoy the sunshine or talk about going to the park or going to a movie or you know, where he can't read them a bedtime story if he wanted to.
It has been extremely hard on my family, this imprisonment.
Herman is very close to our hearts, has been incarcerated out there for my whole life and for our children's whole lives, and the only contact that they've had with him is through either a glass window or over a table in a prison visiting room. And, you know, that's very hard for young children to understand and to take in.
When we visit, it's hard because we just imagine him coming home with us, and it's hard to not have that happen. Right when I had to go, I started crying. Because I really didn't want to go. I wanted him to come with me, or me to stay with him and visit more. It's nice that even though we had to drive like 3 hours, it's nice that we still got a chance to see him.
I think it's, you know, it's the number one priority and goal in our life at this point is to obviously raise them to be the best they can be. But in doing that, you know, the number one thing is for their grandfather to come home and enjoy us as a family unit. I don't think we'll ever be whole as a family until he's able to come home and live with us and enjoy the spoils of having these beautiful grandchildren and watch them grow up and do all the things that a grandfather should get to do, and likewise for the grandchildren that get to be with their granddad who they love and adore.
I mean, he's an amazing man. You know, he's kind and generous and loving and compassionate and just a really great person to be around.
He deserves a opportunity just like anyone else, a fair shot to be heard and to come home legitimately, regardless of what anybody thinks around the political nature of the case and facts surrounding and things like that. He is more than served his sentence and deserves parole, deserves to come home.
If you want to talk about looking at a man for who he is, then let's look at who he is. Let's look at what he's done. Let's look at what he stands for. Let's look at what he does on a daily basis, not just for our family and for us, but for other folks, for other people in the community.
In his youth, Herman was an outstanding athlete and talented quarterback, winning a football scholarship. Over the years in prison, he has coached football and basketball. He has also earned a dual bachelor in science degree in psychology and sociology, and a master's degree in sociology. Steeped in world history, particularly African history, he has shared his knowledge widely. He has also taught English skills to many and encourages all to develop their own educational and vocational abilities. Herman's outreach to those outside the walls has been incredibly impressive. He shared his knowledge of community survival programs from the Black Panther days with environmental activists in Maine to create the Victory Gardens Project, where hundreds of community activist volunteers would grow and distribute for free their organic harvest back into their respective communities. With Herman's help, this long-running project brought diverse people together to develop self-sustaining communities while learning about political prisoners and fighting for their release, and even sponsoring a middle school essay contest on community involvement. In 2002, Herman organized several New York State prisoners to join him in a pen pal dialogue with homeless children in New York City, and the letters were made into a booklet for free distribution. From 2001 on, with Canadian friends, Herman has been instrumental in creating a widely distributed calendar that highlights social justice struggles, past and present. And these are just a few examples. In fact, even parole commissioners have noted Herman's impressive record of accomplishments.
My commitment to the uplift of our people, that is what keeps me going. You know, that is the focus of my life.
And for all of us who are out here, who are active and continue to be active, the fact that he's there and still alive and still active is an important signal for us as well. We need him here out on the street. We need him here with all of his creative energy and all of his creative brilliance. We cannot forget Herman Bell
and I want to go to the park with him. I want to go to the movies with him. I want to have a party after he comes back. And just really, really want him to come back. Because I really, really miss him and I love him so much.
Herman Bell is a man of great principle and courage. He has dedicated his life to social justice, to the care and education of others, to exposing the genocidal inhumanity of the prison system. We hope you are inspired by Herman and encourage you to help win his release, to enable this brilliant and accomplished brother at long, long last to come home.
The question that we have to ask ourselves, as Herman Bell is still a participant in the work that he does with the food bank, in the work that he does and extending the whole ideas around community and spirit of generosity and all, with all of that work that he does, we have to remember that. And in remembering that, we have to use all and muster up all our energies to bring Herman Bell home. To bring Herman Bell home.
Hi, my name is Sage. I'm 10 years old. I wrote a song called Freedom for my grandpa, Herman Bell. He's a political prisoner in New York, and I wrote this song because I wanted you guys to know that I want him out and I want him to be able to spend more time with me. When I heard about love, I was by going up and dreaming, and yet here I am, still dream. By the time I was eight, I was getting dressed up by myself, living my own life, finding my own love, dreaming my own dreams, even if I die for my own rights, I'm gonna fight, I'm gonna fight, until the day we get it right, I'm gonna fight, I'm gonna fight, even if I have to die.
Welcome back to Political Prisoner Radio. Again, this is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines. Do again want to acknowledge and thank Freedom Archives for their work. They document a lot of this history that would be lost to many of us today and future generations if not for the work of those good people over there at Freedom Archives. You can find out more information as well as a link to the petition to free Herman Bell by going to freehermanbell.org. That's freehermanbell.org. At this time, before I conclude this short broadcast, I would also ask that you keep our co-producer and co-host, who's not with us tonight, Sister Amija Whitlock, in your thoughts. As you may know, may not know, she is right now at risk of becoming a political prisoner herself, as she attended a rally against Donald Trump in Virginia where he was going to be speaking. She did not know, but it is a felony in Virginia if you wear a ski mask, which she was wearing because of the cold weather. When they attempted to get into the area where the rally was going to occur, they were being harassed by police in Virginia. They decided that they were not going to go through that hassle and attempted to leave. And once they got to the car, she had already removed her mask, at which point she was arrested. And so her preliminary hearing is coming up on February 15th in 2016, and hopefully her fundraiser page will be up tomorrow, and certainly we'll let you know about that, as we have to prevent our sister Amija from becoming a political prisoner, because we need her out here on the outside of the walls, helping to bring attention and to advocate for political prisoners being held by the United States government. With that said, we will be back next week, hopefully with a full broadcast for you right here on Black Talk Radio Network. This is Political Prisoner Radio, and Scotty Reed signing off.
You know, we do whatever we do to survive.
Drop it!